When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
I was the last one left in the boutique. Normally we close at 8, but this wasn't a normal night. Kanye West had requested a private fitting room for his wife, Bianca. And when someone like him asks, you don't say no. My boss arranged everything and left me alone to handle it. The store was silent. Too silent. The kind of silent that presses against your ears, making even your own breath sound too loud. At exactly 8:30, the door creaked open. Kanye walked in first, his presence swallowing the room, followed by his wife. She was stunning in an eerie way, her movements slow, deliberate, her eyes void of any real expressions. She didn't greet me, didn't look around, didn't acknowledge anything. She just stood there, empty. Kanye wasted no time. She needs a dress, something unique. You'll find one. His voice was low and firm, not making a request, but issuing an order. Before I could even nod, his phone buzzed. He checked the screen. His jaw tightened. As he exhaled sharply through his nose, he turned to me, eyes dark and unreadable. I have to go. Listen carefully. Don't talk to her. Just do your job. Do not engage. His tone wasn't just commanding. It was a warning. Without another word, he turned around and walked out, the door clicking shut behind him. The silence returned, heavier than before. Bianca stood motionless, watching nothing. I pulled a few dresses from the racks, holding them up for her to see. She barely reacted, only shaking her head slowly. Her movements were stiff, unnatural, like if she was being controlled by invisible strings. I tried another, nothing. Another, still nothing. Each rejection felt more unsettling, like she wasn't just uninterested, like she wasn't even there. This wasn't how fitting usually went. Most clients had at least some opinion. They ran their hands over the fabric, turned towards the mirror, asked for other options. She didn't do any of that. She just stood there in place, shaking her head like a machine responding to input. The boutique suddenly felt smaller. The dim overhead lights casted strange shadows along the mannequins. The air felt heavier, pressing against my skin. I needed something different, something that might finally get a reaction. I turned towards the back room, where we kept the exclusive pieces. As I stepped away, the silence was broken. A scream, a sharp, gut-wrenching sound that made my blood run cold. I stopped mid-step, my breath catching in my throat. The scream hadn't been a startled gasp or a cry for help. It was something primal, raw. An animalistic will that dug into my spine. I forced myself to turn back, my pulse hammering against my ribs. Bianca stood there exactly where I had left her, but she was different now. Her hands clutched at her head, fingers tangled in her hair, nails pressing into her scalp, as she let another choked, agonizing shriek.
Where is he? Where is he?
Her voice cracked with hysteria. Her eyes wide but unfocused, staring at something that wasn't there. Her body trembled violently, knees threatening to buckle under her weight. The room felt wrong, like the walls were closing in. Like something unseen had slipped in between us. I hesitated, my body screaming at me to keep my distance. But something in me pushed forward. Are you okay? The moment the words left my mouth, her body went still. Too still. Her arms slowly dropped to her sides. Her fingers unfurling like a marionette being released. Then, she turned her head towards me. Her neck twisting in a unnatural, deliberate motion. The frantic desperation in her face was gone. Instead, her lips curled upwards into a smile. It was wrong. Too wide. Too forced. Her lips stretched as if someone had yanked them into place. Her body began to tremble again, but not like before. This was different. Her shoulder twitched as her head jerked slightly. Her breath became more uneven. Startled gasps. A giggle bubbled in her throat. High-pitched. Mechanical. Broken. Then suddenly, she turned towards the mirror. She moved fast, slamming her forehead against the glass with a sickening crack. Once. Twice. The surface fractured, spider-webbing outward. She didn't flinch. She didn't stop. She just kept laughing. Her reflection distorting into the shattered glass. Then she bent down. Fingers reaching for a jagged shard. I took a step back. Bianca stood up slowly, gripping the shard so tightly that blood dripped between her fingers. But she didn't seem to notice. Her eyes flickered towards me, and she took a slow, deliberate step forward. Then she ran. I turned and bolted, weaving through mannequins, my pulse hammering in my ears. Every footstep was erratic, too fast. She was laughing now, a broken high-pitched sound that made my stomach turn. I reached for the back room, shoved the door shut, and locked it. Then the scraping started, slow at first. The tip of the shard dragged along the door. The sound was unbearable. Then she pounded, harder and harder. The frame groaned, the lock wouldn't hold. Then she started whispering, incoherent, choked words pressing against the door, like she was talking to someone on the other side. My breath hitched as I pressed myself against the far wall, gripping a wooden pole, like if it was the only thing keeping me alive. The pounding stopped. My entire body tensed. I knew better than to believe it was over. Then the door burst open, but there was no one there. I barely had time to react before something slammed into my leg. Bianca, crawling fast, teeth sinking to my ankle. I screamed, trying to shake her off. I grabbed the wooden pole and swung. She didn't react. I hit her again, harder. She let go but pounced on me, pinning me down. Her breath became ragged gasps, her entire body trembling violently. The shard in her hand glinted as she raised it high. Her eyes were locked into mine, empty yet filled with something unspeakable. A force beyond human, beyond reason. The moment stretched, frozen in time. The tip of the shard was just inches away from my throat. I tried to shove her off, but her strength was unnatural. It was like if she weighed twice as much now, pressing down on me with unseen force. My muscles screamed in protest. I could smell her breath. Rotten. Unnatural. Like something long dead forced back to life. Then she tilted her head back and let out an unnatural laugh that shattered any illusion that she was ever human to begin with. The shard was already coming down when the door burst open. Two men stormed in, grabbing Bianca by the arms. The second they touched her, she went still. No resistance. No struggle. Like if someone had flipped a switch. Her head rolled to the side, her expression empty again. All traces of the erratic, horrifying behavior gone in an instant. Then, Kanye walked in. His eyes locked onto mine, and for a moment, he just stood there, scanning the mess, the shattered mirror, the blood on the floor, the money still untouched. His voice was calm, too calm. I told you not to talk to her. What's your problem, man? She tried to kill me. Okay, man. Take some money. Fix this place. If you ever tell anyone about this, you won't be dealing with her. You'll be dealing with me. Got it? And after that, he just left. I sat there for a long time, unable to process what just had happened. I didn't reach for any conclusions. Some things weren't meant to be understood. Kitchener was drowning in fear. 5 murders in 2 months. No forced entry, no witness. Just a single red thread left on each victim's chest. The media called him the Phantom Butcher. I called him my worst nightmare. My name's Ryan. I grew up here in Kitchener, where the streets were safe and the nights were quiet. It was a simple life. Me and my brother Tyler, always getting into trouble. But nothing too serious. We were close. Too close, I guess. And then one day he disappeared. 15 years. No explanation. No goodbye. Just an empty room and a family that fell apart. I tried to move on, but that kind of loss sticks with you like tar. I became a detective, hoping to find answers, even if they weren't for me. But the years passed, and Tyler became nothing more than just a ghost in my mind, until the murder started. I thought it was just another case, just another lunatic carving his way through the city. But then I found the red thread on my own home, and I knew it wasn't just another case. It was a Thursday night when I found it. I came home late, exhausted, my mind fogged with reports and dead-end leads. Tossed my keys on the counter, kicked off my boots, and there it was, a thin red thread resting on my coffee table. Every hair on my body stood up. I checked the locks, the windows. Nothing was broken, nothing was forced. Whoever had been here didn't need to break in. They wanted me to know they could get in whenever they wanted. My gun was in my hand before I even realized. I grabbed it, slow steps towards the hallway. I held my breath, listening for anything out of place. Silence. Too much silence. I moved to the bedroom, gun raised. A creak. My grip tightened. My bedroom door was slightly opened. It hadn't been like that. I remember closing it when I left. I pushed it open with the barrel of my gun. The room was dark, but I could feel it. Someone had been here. Maybe they still were. The air smelled different, a mix of sweat and something metallic. I scanned the room, my pulse hammering my ears. Nothing looked disturbed. The closed door was ajar. Step by step, I approached. The floorboard creaked beneath me. I clenched my teeth and I reached for the handle. My fingers wrapped around the wood, my body tense, ready for anything. I yanked the door open, and nothing. Just old clothes and empty hangers. But that smell, it was stronger now. I stepped back, shaking my head. Maybe I was losing it. Maybe the case was getting to me. I turned to leave, but that's when I saw it. On my bed, a photo, a picture of me and Tyler taken years ago, except it had been altered. My face was crossed out with red thick ink. My stomach twisted. My head snapped towards the window. The curtains moved slightly, like they had just been disturbed. I rushed forward, throwing them open. The window was unlocked. Whoever had been there was gone. I didn't sleep that night. Every sound made me flinch. My gun stayed in my hand. The next day, I went through the security footage of my building.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home, plus fast and free shipping site-wide. Shop now through July 28th at wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Nothing. The cameras had been disabled for an hour. I needed answers. The red thread, the photo, the way they got in without a trace. It all pointed to something personal. Someone who knew me. Someone who knew Tyler. I went back to the crime scenes, looked at the files again. 5 victims, all different ages, different backgrounds. But one thing stood out. Each one of them had been reported missing years ago, before they were found dead, just like Tyler. I was staring at the last victim's file when my phone buzzed. Unknown number, I answered.
You should have found me sooner.
My blood turned to ice. The voice, it was familiar. Older, harsher, but I knew it. Tyler? Silence.
You left me, Ryan.
A click. The line went dead. I tracked the call. A burner phone. But I found something else. An abandoned house miles away from the city. It had been listed under our parents' names before they died. I drove there alone. The place was falling apart. Windows shattered. The roof was caving in. The door was unlocked. Inside, dust covered everything. footsteps in the dirt. Someone had been here recently. A single candle burnt on the table, next to a pile of photographs. I picked one up. Another old picture of me and Tyler. This one had no red ink, just a single word across it. Brother. A creak behind me. I spun around, gun raised. Tyler stood in the doorway. His face was pale, his eyes sunken. He wasn't the boy I remembered. He was taller, thinner. Something twisted in his stare.
You left me.
Tyler, what happened to you?
You were supposed to find me.
He moved fast, too fast. The blade flashed before I could react. Pain ripped through my side. I stumbled back, slamming into the table. Blood soaked my shirt. He lunged again. I barely dodged, the knife slicing past my arm. I fired. The shot echoed through the house. Tyler fell back, clutching his shoulder. He grinned through the pain.
You fight just like Dad.
I pressed the barrel to his forehead, my hands shaking. This isn't you.
You have no idea who I am.
He knocked the gun away. We crashed to the floor, fist flying. His hands wrapped around my throat, squeezing. Darkness crept at the edges of my vision. I grabbed the knife from the floor, driving into his side. He gasped, his eyes wide. Then he laughed. Blood dripped from his mouth as he whispered,
"You think this ends with me?"
Tyler staggered back, the knife still in his side. He reached for something in his pocket. I didn't wait. I tackled him, slamming his head against the floor. His body went limp. I didn't know if he was dead. I didn't check. I called it in. The cops arrived. They found the bodies, the evidence. Tyler wasn't working alone. A week later, I sat at my apartment, staring at the red thread on my coffee table. Tyler was in custody, but something didn't sit right with me. His last words, the way he said them. I wasn't the only one he was after. A knock at my door. My heart stopped. I reached for my gun. Outside, footsteps faded into the night. On the floor, just inside my door, another red thread.
I didn't think much of it when I saw him that day. He was just another celebrity in public. Someone used to cameras flashing in their face. I pulled out my phone and started recording as I walked closer, pushing through the small crowd. "Hey, Kanye, where's your wife?" He didn't respond. He kept walking, face completely covered by that tight black mask. I kept the camera steady, stepping alongside him. "Kanye, any comments on what Kim said?" That's when he snapped. In one swift motion, he turned, grabbed my phone, and yanked it from my hands. My heart jumped as I stumbled back. He didn't break it. He just stared at me and told me that I was harassing him. Then he just walked away. 2 days later, I noticed them. At first, it was just one man, standing on the other side of the street, wearing the same full head mask Kanye had on. Then, another. The next day, I saw three. Different places, different times. The subway, the grocery store, and outside of my apartment. They never approached me, never spoke. They just stood there, watching. I pulled out my phone and started recording, pointing straight at them. They didn't move. They didn't try to hide. People around me barely paid any attention. I tried to tell myself it was paranoia, that maybe it was just a coincidence, maybe just some weird fans were pulling a prank. But the fear in my gut told me otherwise. Then, one of them moved. Just a small step forward. But it was enough to send a chill through me. I turned quickly and walked away, forcing myself not to run. My apartment was only a few blocks away. I just had to get there. Just had to lock the door behind me. But as I reached the front of my building, I saw another one, standing by the entrance, head tilted slightly as if studying me. My hands trembled as I fumbled for my keys. My pulse was hammering in my ears. By the time I slammed the door shut behind me, I was gasping for breath, and through the peephole, I saw them, just standing there, waiting. It wasn't paranoia. They were following me. At first, it was subtle. A masked figure at the end of the hallway, a shadow turning the same corner that I had. But then, it escalated. One night, I left a bar late, a little drunk, a little careless. I turned onto an empty street, and they were there. A dozen of them, standing beneath the flickering streetlights. I froze. My breath was caught in my throat. Then the nearest one took a step forward, and another. The others followed, their movements slow but deliberate. I ran. My legs burned as I sprinted down the street. I could hear them behind me, their footsteps eerily synchronized. I turned sharply into an alley, hoping to lose them, but when I emerged onto the next street, more were waiting. My stomach dropped. I ducked into a convenience store, panting, trying to steady my breathing. The cashier barely glanced at me. Through the glass windows, I could see them stopping outside. A crowd of masked figures, all standing still, waiting. Minutes passed. Then, one of them stepped forward. Then another. And another. I grabbed a random item from the shelf, pretending to shop. Maybe they would leave if I stayed inside long enough. They didn't. Instead, they walked inside. A hand grabbed my arm, then another. Panic surged through me as they pulled me toward the door. I kicked and screamed for help, but no one did anything. They dragged me outside, my feet barely touching the ground. They shoved me into a car, slamming the door shut. My breath came in ragged gasps as I struggled against the hands holding me down. Then, a hand came to my throat and tightened. The choke was blurring my vision. My limbs failed, and I couldn't break free. Just as I thought I would pass out, the grip loosened. I sucked in a desperate breath, coughing violently. A voice spoke, low, calm.
See, that's how Kanye feels when you corner him.
My blood ran cold. The car sped through the streets, the masked men silent. My mind raced. Where were they taking me? What the hell was going to happen? I tried to scream, but a hand clamped over my mouth. My struggles grew weaker. They had planned this. They had been waiting. And I had walked right into their trap. The city lights faded into darkness. We were leaving the populated areas, heading somewhere secluded. My stomach churned. This was it. They took me to a warehouse. The moment we arrived, they yanked me out of the car and threw me to the ground. My phone was ripped from my pocket. One of them stomped on it, grinding it under his heel until it shattered. Footsteps. Then, I heard his voice. Kanye stepped forward, his mask still on. But I knew it was him. The way he moved, the way he stood over me, holding something in his hand. A taser.
Your husband. What time does he get off work?
I hesitated. Pain exploded through my body as the taser hit my side. I convulsed, barely able to breathe.
What school do your kids go to?
I gasped for air, my body trembling. I wanted to fight back, to resist, but the fear was suffocating. The taser crackled. Another jolt of electricity surged through me. Tears blurred my vision. I answered. I didn't want to, but I did. He kept asking, kept shocking me. And then he smiled. I could see it through the mask. He was enjoying this. One of his men suddenly threw a bucket of water on me. Water drenched me, soaking my clothes, my hair, my skin. My body shivered violently. Kanye raised the taser.
You know what happens if I tase you now, don't you?
No, no, please, no. I'm sorry. I'll never follow you again. I'm really sorry.
It's time for you to leave this world.
Terror gripped me. I couldn't breathe, couldn't move. Then he did something I didn't expect. He stopped. After that, he reached up, grabbed his mask, and pulled it off. His face was calm, smiling, but I could tell he was really furious.
Now you know how it feels when someone pries into your life.
His eyes locked onto mine. There was something unhinged in him. He grabbed me by my hair, and his voice suddenly changed.
Never, never come near me again. Next time, you won't leave alive. You feel me?
They left, just like that. Got into their cars and drove off, leaving me there, broken and shaking. I sat there for hours, crying, trembling. Eventually, I got up, stumbled out of the warehouse, barely able to walk. No one believed me. No cameras, no proof. Just a shattered phone and bruises I couldn't explain. I moved, changed my number, deleted my social media, but it didn't matter. I knew he continued his life and possibly forgot about me in the next several hours. But I didn't forget him. Nowadays, I'm still scared. Afraid of crossing him in the streets. Afraid of being targeted just out of boredom. I feel that my life is at constant risk. And I'm afraid that this feeling is never going to change. None of the events in this story are real. This story, based on a viral video, is a hypothetical scenario adapted into a horror story. Neither Kanye nor any of the people involved found themselves in these scenarios beyond the source video.